To grow your business, you have to market your business. That takes a plan, a strategy, and a team that knows how to implement it. That's what we do for our clients every day. Don't just throw money at different media and hope it works. Talk to us and let us show you what we can do for you. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
This is an encore.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That's Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with my co-host and co-pilot, Ms. Leanne Whippin. And the usual suspects are hanging around the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios here in Portland and also on the USA Radio Networks. We'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. You can check them out at PaintedHillsNaturalBeef.com. Well, if you're like a lot of us, you like chicken wings, I'm going to have to tell you about a story later in the show about some wings I just had. They wouldn't make your book, I'll tell you that. We've got Paulus the Shira on us here with us today. I don't know if you can see that without it fading out.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, her new book is Wing Crush. Paula, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're a first-time victim here.
So, yes.
So, why wings? Let's just start out there. Why wings?
Why wings? That's a good question. So when I started my Instagram account, I did it for fun. So just random cooks. I started on a Weber charcoal, just cooking everyday meals, a lot of meat. And then one day it just dawned on me. And if a lot of people do Woman Crush Wednesday. So for me, it was like, okay, let me turn this into wings. So Wing Crush Wednesday. So every Wednesday, I decided to post a different recipe of wings. I tried to get creative, stuff them, and, you know, it kind of caught on with my audience. And then a lot of people started doing Wing Crush Wednesday. So here we are today. And when the publisher reached out to me, we went through a bunch of different ideas of what type of book to write and what they wanted, you know, for me to do. And they were like, well, you do wings every Wednesday. Can you come up with 60 recipes? So I said, yeah, definitely. I could probably do more than that. So we started off with 60, and then in the end, we did 100.
I see.
Wow. That.
They look delightful. And if I lived closer, I'd be over knocking on your door saying every Wednesday, saying, what's up? What are we going to eat tonight? The photography is great. How long did it take you to do the book?
It took me about 2.5 months to write. And then I shot all of the photos myself as well. So as I was developing and grilling, I was doing videos to go along with it. So I have videos that I can post up to certain recipes. And then I was styling and doing all the photography and editing everything. So from start to finish, I started writing, I think it was about March, and the whole book, including photos, was due in July, mid-July. Of last year. So it was fairly quick. I didn't stop. I swear I bought out all of the wings in all of my grocery stores. I think there was a shortage at one point.
So what
was a lot of wings.
So what do you do with them after you cook them? Do you give them away, or do you give them, you know, send them to derelicts like me, or what do you do? And I'll tell you, because Leanne and I both have a lot of experience in this. Last week I had to do two hams for Easter show, and all of a sudden I've got 12 pounds of ham here, and I, you know, so I give it away for the most part. But what do you do?
Same thing as well. We ate some of them, but there's only so many wings you can literally eat. But I did give some away to family, neighbors. I would knock on their doors and say, hey, I just made these. Do you want them? And a lot of my neighbors would just see the smoke rolling and they're like, are you making wings again? Can you drop some off? And I'm like, of course. I'm like, please take them off my hands. So definitely a lot were given away.
And tell me, once you finish the book, did you still have this burning desire, no pun intended, to cook wings? Or did you take them? I know you had to do it for your Wings Wednesday, but did you not expand that into the weekends or anything anymore? Did you just like, we're going back to hamburgers?
I did take a little bit of a break, a little bit. I think I was winged out. But the funny thing is, when I didn't completely finish my book and everything was submitted, my husband said, well, let's go out and celebrate. Where do you want to go? So I said, let's go out for wings. And he says to me, are you serious? I said, what better way to celebrate my book than to have someone else make wings for me?
Yeah.
So we ended up going out for wings, but I did take a little bit of a break after finishing the book.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, Leanne. When I get done with stuff, and I know when you get done with stuff, my big thing is I like to go for Chinese food. Something totally yes. different. Mm. Totally different. When you're developing your recipes, and I know the inspiration can come from various things. Sometimes it's a fleeting idea. Sometimes it's something you see, whatever. But tell us about your process when you get an idea for a particular recipe or flavor, and then take us through how you do that.
So a lot of the times, I think a lot, quite honestly, I don't think my brain ever shuts off, especially when I'm sleeping. I think I get the best ideas right before, you know, closing my eyes and going to sleep. So I like to think about the favorite foods I like and flavors, and kind of like takeout. What is my favorite Chinese dish yeah. or Italian dish? And I think of that, and I'm, you know, my mind just goes to different places. Okay, well, if I mix that together and maybe stuffed it with this, I think that would be great. So my brain is just developing different flavors and trying to put that into a recipe. So I usually have a notepad so I don't forget. So I write it down quickly, or I just grab my phone and I put it into the notes on my phone. And then the next day, if I don't have wings at home, I will go out, pick them up, and just test it out. So it's really random, to be honest. Sometimes I'll be out for dinner and say, wow, this is amazing. I think I can turn this into a wing flavor. Or like you said, I'll see something on social media and it inspires me. And I think, well, if I took those flavors but added X, Y, and Z, I think that would be incredible. It's something different. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it. So I try to do a lot of outside of the box things. I do like traditional flavors as well, but I try to get people as well to get out of their comfort zone with the flavors I do for them to try. And I've seen so much of that on social media, which is amazing to see. And I'm like, I didn't think of that. That's amazing. I have to try this. And mm-hmm. I'll always let people know this is great. You know, I'm going to do this. And obviously I give credit, but it's the process is very random for me, to be quite honest, the way the recipes come. It could be random. I'll be feeding my dogs and think, you know what? That would be a great flavor. And just something comes into my mind. So it's a random process, quite honestly.
So 100 recipes, that's a lot of recipes. Yeah. How do you decide which ones make the cut that make it into the book?
It was tough, to be quite honest. I think I had... So basically, before I started writing the book, I just took a piece of paper and started writing different ideas of flavors and things that I wanted to create into recipes. And I think I had close to 200. Mm. So at that point, I had to look at my list and think, okay, are some of these repetitive? I didn't want them to be repetitive, because certain things you think, okay, this would be great in three of these recipes, but I didn't want to do that. And I tried to keep it a little bit unique and traditional at the same time. And I didn't want to make it too complicated where someone picks up the book and says, where am I getting these ingredients from? This is, you know, I can't get this. So I tried to create recipes that you can go to your local grocery store and pick up these ingredients and these seasonings. And a lot of recipes do have where use your favorite seasoning, but here is the sauce. So I tried to keep it easy, because at the end of the day, who wants to spend half of their day looking for ingredients to make a recipe? I don't.
Yeah.
So I try to put myself in other people's shoes and think, okay, well, if I picked up a book, would I create these recipes? Is this easy enough to do? Because your everyday cook doesn't want things to be so complicated, right?
Do you think it's important, the quality of the wing, or do you have a preference on a brand or where you shop for wings? Because wings come in all different sizes, and that's going to mean a different cook time, and, you know, that affects your recipe. And but do you favor like a certain size wing and where you purchase it?
So I've tested. That's actually a great, great question. I've tested different wings from different grocery stores. So I have a local grocery store, which isn't too far from me, which is Sobeys. I'm in Canada, so in I don't think the U.S. has those grocery stores. So their wing is, their wings are actually one of the best ones, because I find they don't shrink as much as other brands do after cooking. Because I've tested somewhere, I look at the wing and wow, it's huge, amazing. It looks like it is so much meat. And then you cook it and it shrinks to half of its size. So definitely I've tested different ones, and one of my local grocery stores has the best ones. That's the one that I always get them from. And I always buy a bunch at a time, especially when they're on sale. I'm like, yes, I'm taking all of these.
Are they injected in it with a salt solution of any sort that prevents it from shrinking, or it's just straight up all natural?
All natural. These ones are, yes. Yeah. Yeah,
that's for people who don't know, and if you've listened to this show, you've heard us talk about it before. Little chickens are the ones that get filled up with stuff before they go to market, for the most part. And I've noticed that too when I do some wings. If I buy one of the quote unquote national brands, not naming any names here, they do shrink up a lot more. Unless I just buy like the all natural kind of products, they will usually suffice in not shrinking and holding the flavor. So it's not like you're nibbling on a bone that's got some, you know, Reebok taped on it or something like that. It works out better.
Yep.
We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with Paula Stashira. Did I say it right?
Perfect.
There you go.
Perfect.
Queen of the Grill, her new book, Wing Crush. There it is again. See it? It doesn't get blotted out by the green screen. And the podcast, All Up in My Grills. We'll be back with Paul in just a minute.
Ready for a new ride? Choose from over 1,000 vehicles at Westin Kia, like a new Kia Sportage, Soul, Forte, K4, Sorento, Telluride, or Carnival. Gas, electric, or hybrid. Oregon's all-time leader in Kia sales. Everyone wins at Westin.
1994, January 2026, Westin Kia sold more new Kias than any other Kia dealer in Oregon. Reported by Kia Corp.
Hey everybody, it's Jeff here. I want to tell you about something really cool. Heritage Steel cookware. I just got mine. I do a lot of cooking, and it's got 5-ply construction stay cool handles. It's titanium strengthened. It's got all the great stuff. Just go to heritagesteel.us and find out more. You'll love it. I guarantee it.
This is an encore.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Leanne Whippen. And today we're talking with Paula Stashira, Queen of the Grill. How'd you come up with that now, Queen of the Grill?
Funny story. It goes back to when we get together with our family for holidays. And when I really started getting into the grilling and stuff, one of my cousins came up to me and said, wow, this is amazing. The grill was loaded, just skewers and potatoes and wings and sausages. And he was just kind of watching me from afar. And he comes up to me and he's like, you're like the queen of the grill. Like, look at all this. So that kind of stuck in the back of my mind. I said, you know what, let me see if anyone's taken this name. And no one did. And I said, oh, all right, I'm taking it. It's mine. That's it.
There you go. I wanted to tell you folks out there listening, also, if you want to reach out to us, you can just go to barbecuenationjt.com. There's an icon down there where you can send us a message, and either Leanne or myself will respond to you. We were also on Facebook, Twitter, and we have our private accounts on there too. They're not really private, but they're individual accounts instead of just the shows. Anyway, we are out there. Paula was talking about Instagram. We've got one of those too, I think. Anyway, so it's pet peeve time, Paula.
Yes.
And nothing with you. One thing that really I don't care for, I'll put it very nicely, is that some restaurants you go into and you're just really hungry for wings. I'm a golfer, and when you get done, I think wings are some of the greatest things. You can get a couple of orders of them and share them with people around the table or at home, whatever you're doing. But some of the places just like dip them, bathe them in sauces. And that's, they're counting on that, because if you get the sauce off there, they're all the same. They're not really cooked with any seasonings or anything. They're just dipped in these monster sauces, and they were cooked properly, but there was whatever their sauce I know what the profile was, but whoever made it, it was so thick that I only ate two of them and took the rest home, and then I threw them away, actually, because it was just too saucy. And you find that, too, if you go to some of the wing chain stores, you know, they're just too heavy in the sauce for me. I want to get your take on that. And Leanne.
I agree. I typically, when I do go out for wings, I normally get dry rubs just because, like you said, I've had some experiences with the sauces that it's just, it's too much. All you're tasting is the sauce and there's no real flavor behind the wings. So for me, I always get dry rubbed and I get a sauce on the side. So that way I can kind of control how much sauce I put on the wing and it comes seasoned to begin with. So definitely I've had that experience as well. I'm not a fan.
Yeah. Leanne?
I eat wings like I eat my barbecue, sauce on the side. You know, I love the taste of smoke and meat, so I don't want it to be destroyed or taken away by a heavy sauce. I did notice in your book, however, that you do focus on really like the seasoning and the cooking process, and then the sauce is an additional flavor, which I really love about it. One question I have is chicken, you know, as you barbecue chicken, it's hard to get a crispy skin, and I love crispy skin on wings. I feel like your methods lends itself to crispy skin. Do you think that cooking at, you know, the higher temperature is the way to go?
Personally, for myself, yes, especially on a pellet grill, I find that when I take them up to 190, they do get more of a crispier skin. A lot of times I will add cornstarch if I do want it to be a little bit more crispier, but I find that the higher the temperature definitely brings it up to that crispiness that I like. Mm-hmm. Personally, I feel like 165, they're still a little bit softer. On a charcoal grill, that's different. You can take them to 165 and they'll be crispy because it's charcoal. But I find for me, 190 on a pellet grill definitely works out better.
Did you use the same grill for all the recipes in the book or did you use different grills?
I use the same grill. So I use the pellet grill throughout the whole cooking process. And I did a bunch of them all at the same time. Like I could just fit them all in. So yeah, but I do cook on a charcoal grill as well outside of my book. So. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite ways to cook wings is on a charcoal grill as well. I just love the taste and the flavor from the charcoal. But yes, I did use the pellet grill throughout the whole book.
Do you have, tell us about your grills. We've got a couple of minutes left in this segment. What do you use specifically when you're using your pellet grill? Is there any, I will tell you that research has shown, but most people don't adhere to it, that the flavored pellets make a very, very, very minute difference in the flavor profile. Some people swear by them, like, oh man, I got to cook with hickory or whatever. And other people are a bit like me, I think, and say it doesn't make that much difference. I want to get your thoughts on that and talk about your grills here. And if we don't finish in this segment, we'll pick it up on the next end.
Okay. I agree. I feel like the different flavors of pellets do not change the taste in the food. I do not find a difference. So I just grab whatever I open, whatever's piled, whichever flavor's there, and I just use it. I've tested it myself where I tried, okay, let me use apple, then I'll use cherry, then I'll use hickory. Let me see if it tastes different. And it, to me, it doesn't. I'm not sure. Maybe to some people it does, but I don't find the difference. And as far as the grills, I have a Pit Boss Navigator 1600.
Yay!
Yes. I'm even wearing my Pit Boss.
You go, girl.
So I love that grill. That's actually my favorite pellet smoker at this point. So I've got one of those. I've got a Louisiana Grills Kamado style. I love that one. It's incredible. It just holds the heat so well and you barely have to use any charcoal. That's my favorite charcoal grill. I do have a Weber kettle as well, which I started when I started my account. That's the first grill that I had on there. So I've got that still. I have a Louisiana Grills smoker as well. What else do I have? I have so many grills. I have griddles, Pit Boss griddles, two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at Leanne just smiling.
And I do have a Louisiana Grills vertical smoker. My husband built me a grill garage where all of my grills are stored in this grill garage. So,
well, I hope you have.
So for those who are unaware, Louisiana Grills is another division. So it's like a sister brand to Pit Boss Grills. So yes. It's manufactured by the same company, but it is a, they're still different, you know, as far as their construction and what have you. So that's awesome.
My God, there'll be no living with the both of you. We're going to take another break here on Barbecue Nation and come back with Leanne and Paula right after this. Stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and I have eaten, if you've ever looked at me, you know that, but I have eaten seafood all over the world, and I can tell you there's no place better than here in Oregon and our Dungeness crab. If you want to learn more about Oregon Dungeness crab, just go to OregonDungeness.org and find out how to cook it, how to catch it, where to buy it, and the sustainability of what they're doing there in the Oregon Crab Commission. Check it out.
This is an encore.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on USA Radio Networks. And of course, you can find our podcast where any of your local podcasts are sold. Last I checked, we were on 30 odd platforms of social media out there. And it's very easy to find us. And again, if you're having trouble with that, just go to the Barbecue Nation JT website. We're talking with Paula Stashira here. New book, Wing Crush. You've got some pretty good endorsements on the back there with Chris Sussman. And of course, Adam Clark from Pit Boss, like that. And Tara Cox, that gives you a little chutzpah there, as they would say. I think that's the way they say it, isn't mm-hmm. it?
I think it's chutzpah, isn't it?
Chutzpah?
I don't know.
Okay. So out of all your recipes here, I got to tell you, I just flipped by it again, so let me find it again here. One of the recipes I really looked at was your spicy chili garlic, because I get to sit in this chair, I get to say things that some people maybe can't say in their shows. I think people that get over zealous with either the sauce or the rubs to make the wings too hot, I don't think they do all the effort to prepare the wings and serve them. I don't think they're doing them any favors because mm-hmm. it's just hot. You know, you're not tasting the meat of the wing. And that's why you go through all the work, is to taste that. I want to get your thoughts on seasonings and how you determine how much heat is enough, and how you determine, like, I call them for lily lips around here, because my wife won't eat anything that's over like a 0.01 on the Scoville scale. So anyway, well, give me your thoughts on that.
Personally, I like spicy foods, but when I was doing these recipes, I tried to tone them down a little bit, just because I know a lot of people don't have tolerance to heat, but some people do. So some recipes are very hot for those people that are truly, truly love hot wings. And when I do any recipes that have cayenne pepper or red pepper flakes, I always start with a little bit at a time, and then I mix it and I taste it before I even put it onto the wings. So if it's too spicy for me before I even put it on the wings, I won't put any more, because once you put it on the wings, the heat level comes up even higher once you cook the wings.
Right.
So I always try to start with a little bit and then pick it up if I need to. But I mean, I don't like anything crazy as far as heat goes. Like, I won't eat a scotch bonnet it's a pickle or something. Like, I would never do that. You know, some people can handle that kind of heat. So I was thinking of the general public. So, you know, if this is too spicy for me, it's going to be way, way too spicy for anybody else. So I would knock the heat down that way.
How do you prepare? I mean, some people that are gospel of the wings people, you know, they're like, okay, I clip the end off the actual tip of the wing. I do this, I trim it, or I pull the skin up, and I understand when you're trying to stuff something in there, mm-hmm. but how are you actually kind of, if you will, dissecting your wings and prepping them for cook?
So it depends. Sometimes I already buy them split. When they're split, I just I pat them dry. I try to take any excess liquids from the packaging. So I get like a wire rack. I pat them down. I let them sit a little bit so they dry off. Then I season them. If I do get them like whole wing, I don't typically cut them. I'll actually grill the whole wing and just leave it that way and just eat it. Just eat it like that and just nibble on every little piece that's on there.
Sure.
And I like the tips because they get really crispy.
They so like them too.
I like chewing on the crispy tips.
Yeah, I've had some that got really, really crispy. My future son-in-law, watch, I'll say that and screw the whole thing up. But he came in one day and he said, is your smoker supposed to be putting out that much smoke? No, when I went out and looked at it, because it was way too much and the wrong color. So we ended up going and buying wings that day. Pre-mades, but yeah, you got to be careful of that. I find it interesting that a lot of people, when they're trying to do wings at home and stuff, Paula, they actually do, back to the sauces, they'll actually put a little salt and pepper on them, which is fine. And then, you know, 10, 15 minutes into the cook, they're starting to baste. And Leanne and I are both kind of glazers if we use it at all, but they'll do that. And then you come out with this really kind of, it's crispy, but it's more charred than anything. So that's not good for you?
Not for me. If I do put sauce on, I'm either basting the last 5 minutes of the cook just so it gets it on there and I keep it on and the glaze comes out, or I'll literally just toss them after they're done. I'll put them in a bowl and toss them, but I will never do it within like 10 minutes or 15 minutes of cooking because you're burning it. You're not glazing it, you're burning it. So typically the last 5 to 10 minutes, or I'm just tossing them in the end.
Do you
feel like brining is something that's necessary for wings or not really, since it's really not a lot of meat on the bone to tenderize, or are they pretty much flavorful and tender just as is, or is brining a good option?
I think it's a good option depending on the flavor profile you want. I typically don't brine my wings, but if I'm doing, like, for example, dill pickle wings, I love brining them in pickle juice because you get that extra flavor of that pickle brine. So I like doing that. I did a recipe not too long ago where I made a spicy recipe, like spicy wings. So I use the brine from hot pepper rings. So I use that brine. So it absorbed, I think I did it only about 2 hours. You don't really need much more than that. 2 to 4 hours, I would say maximum. But I really wanted the spice to absorb into the meat, into the skin. And then I put less cayenne pepper into the actual seasoning because I knew that wing was going to be spicy. I think it just depends really on the flavor profile you're working on as far as the wing, but I don't think it's really necessary to do it every time.
I feel like a lot of these recipes can be used or adapted to even skin on chicken thighs. They're very versatile. The recipes, they aren't like just for wings. Like you can use them in other poultry type recipes or even turkey wings for that matter, which I really like. So I don't know if you've actually tried to do that before.
Yeah, I have actually. So when I was writing the book, I was also thinking about, can these recipes be adapted to other chicken recipes? So chicken breasts, chicken thighs, you know, like even turkey wings. That's actually something I really want to do. And I have an idea for that. They'll be stuffed. So I already have this in my mind. I'm already working on another recipe in my mind, but definitely that was kind of my process as well, writing the book, thinking that people can take this and adapt it to other chicken recipes. So yeah.
A lot of people are actually frying after they smoke wings. What's your opinion of that?
I've done it once. They come out crispy. So you definitely, like, if you want crispy wings, that's a good way to go. You do taste the smoke after you fry them, because you're only frying them for 2 to 3 minutes, because you're finishing them at about 145. And then to get to 165 at 350, 375 in the fryer, it's 2 to 3 minutes. I've done it once. I mean, I like them.
Yeah.
I haven't done it more than once, but personally, I like smoking my wings. That's just my personal preference.
Have you had any problems in Canada since all the COVID stuff and everything like that with having an ample continual supply of wings?
Yes. And this was during my writing process and trying to shoot my book with enough wings. So definitely there was a shortage, and I went to the grocery store and they only had 2 packages of chicken wings, and I was blown away. And so I took one, because I said, you know what, I'm just going to leave this one for someone else. I don't want to be greedy. So I just took the one package and thought maybe tomorrow or the next day they'll get their delivery. But I couldn't find any, so I had to go to a different store, and the wings I bought weren't my preference. But I did struggle for a little bit writing the book, because I needed so many to do it was tough during that time. Definitely last year was a little bit tough to get
so
wings.
You're part of our problem and our reason why we can't find wings. It's because of you.
I think I put that in my book somewhere. When you read the introduction, I think I put in there that there was a shortage because of me.
Yeah. Well, and if you don't know who we're talking to Paula Stashira, and she's the cause of your wing problems out there.
Yes. So, our shortage. I take full responsibility, and I'm surprised my neighbors weren't knocking at my door going, did you really buy the last package?
I probably wouldn't have been so nice.
I agree.
I'd been like, you know, you snooze, you lose out there, folks. So it's doing that. How many pounds, if you will, of wings did you go through making this book? I mean, a lot of chickens gave up their flying capacity for you, you know, so what's your estimate on that?
I mean, 200 pounds? I don't know.
Yeah, you would have to, because if you do a pound for each recipe, yeah, it's probably right about.
It's about correct. That. Let's just say 2 to 4 with some waste and getting hungry, and I'm not shooting this because I'm hungry and I'm going to eat this.
Right.
Yeah, well, I can see that, because that's, as Leanne knows, that's why on TV we do the before, the after, and the middle, because there's always something to eat, you know, when you go on there. So
are you going to be doing a book tour?
Yes, I'm sort of starting right now. So I have a TV appearance on the 27th, which is the day after my book launches. So my book is releasing on April 26th. And on the 27th, I have a TV appearance for a news channel in Portland.
Awesome.
If you're listening, Rach, better listen to Paula. We're going to take another break here on Barbecue Nation. We'll be back with Paula Stashira, and Queen of the Grill, mind you, and her new book, Wing Crush. 100 epic recipes, and they are. So don't go away.
Ready for a new ride? Choose from over 1,000 vehicles at Westin Kia, like a new Kia Sportage, Soul, Forte, K4, Sorento, Telluride, or Carnival. Gas, electric, or hybrid. Oregon's all-time leader in Kia sales. Everyone wins at Westin.
1994 to January 2026, Westin Kia sold more new Kias than any other Kia dealer in Oregon. Reported by Kia Corp.
Hey everybody, JT here. I want to tell you about Hammerstahl knives. Hammerstahl combines German steel with beautiful and functioning designs. They're part of the Heritage Steel Group, which also does their pots and pans. So go to heritagesteel.us, check out the Hammerstahl knives. If you're really into cooking, I think you're really going to like them.
This is an encore.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Ms. Leanne Whippen. You got to get a handle like that, Leanne.
What?
Well, Queen of the Grill? Something? I don't know. Blonde Bomber? No. I don't know.
No.
It's all good. But anyway, we're talking.
I don't mind if it's associated with wings.
Yeah. We're talking with Paula Stashira here, Queen of the Grill. Oh, there went my water. She's got a new book out, Wing Crush. Try to do that. We'll obviously post an image of the book on the different.
Is it going to be on Amazon? Like, where can we buy it?
So it's available worldwide. So anyone that has access to Amazon can order the book. Barnes & Noble, Chapters Indigo, you can download it on Apple Books, Google Books. So literally everywhere.
Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. For people that are just starting to cook outside, and because the theme and the industry, if you will, of grilling and barbecuing especially since COVID, is just kind of shot through the roof. And, you know, it doesn't sound like a big deal to the three of us, but if they've never cooked wings before outside, and maybe they got a new pellet grill, maybe they got a new charcoal grill, maybe they've got their old Weber gas grill, kind of walk them through that process real quick, because, you know, they may be used to burning a steak or flipping a burger or, you know, a pork chop or something, but maybe they've never attacked doing wings. Mm-hmm. How can you help them?
I think the most important thing is to know your grill, or the first thing. Every grill is different. Every grill has heat spots, hot spots. So you need to figure out which side is hotter. So you don't want to put your flats. You don't want to start your flats on the hotter side. You want to put your drums on that side. So I think that's very important. Test your grill, know your grill. Season to your liking. I mean, there's recipes you can follow, but a lot of times you have to do it to preference. Some people don't like too much salt. Some people don't like pepper at all. So you have to kind of figure out what you like. But as far as putting wings on a smoker, I wouldn't flip them too much. Flip them halfway through, or don't. Sometimes I don't even flip my wings on the smoker. I just let them stay on there. I might rotate them if I see that, you know, this drum is cooking faster because this spot is hotter. So I rotate those around. But you definitely have to keep an eye on them, have a thermometer, take the temperature, and cook it to your liking, whether it's 165, 190, however you like it. But just make sure it's 165 minimum. Like, you don't want to go under that. Yeah.
So, well, you know, I think, you know, as we were talking about the Pit Boss smoker, is that it has that slide out so you can get direct heat. So if you want to add a little char at the end, you can move them over the direct heat. Do you find that using rubs with sugar content tends to burn the skin versus just, you know, spices that are without sugar? Like, I think, do you have to be more careful when there's sugar involved?
Yeah, definitely. It caramelizes quicker. It burns a little quicker. So you definitely have to keep an eye on it and move them around a little more frequently, just rotating them. You don't, if you flip, you can flip them, but rotating them, you know, I typically just turn them on, like I'll turn them all over and see, okay, well, this one's getting a little darker and this one isn't. So I'll move them from one spot to the other. But definitely if you are using any rubs that have sugar, you have to be careful because they'll tend to burn a little bit quicker.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you start like with a flap, there's obviously more skin on the one side than the other side. Do you think it's better to start them skin side down versus the other way, or it doesn't really matter?
To be honest, for me, it doesn't matter. I always just do them skin side up. Mm-hmm. I haven't found a difference for myself.
Does it bother you, Paula, if there is, like on the tip of the wing, or if there's an exposed bone on the flat, does it bother you if that gets really dark? I mean, it's not good imaging for pictures, I understand that, but if you're just having a, you know, knocking back a couple of labats and you know, watching some sports game or something, does that bother you?
No, it doesn't bother me, but as far as photos go, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I would try to hide that, but personally, doesn't bother me either way.
Do you think that bone-in wings have more flavor than boneless because the bone's involved?
I think so. A difference. There is a difference. I find there is a difference in taste. I'm not a fan of boneless wings.
Me neither.
I mean, they're chicken nuggets. That's not boneless wings. That's chicken nuggets.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever saw this commercial in Canada, but we had a commercial here years ago, and they were talking about boneless nuggets, boneless wings like that. And the one guy goes, well, it's chicken. Parts is parts. And that's all he could say about it. And that's always stuck in my head. Of course, I've got a lot of useless information up there, but I've always kind of taken that to heart, that, it, you know, if you're going to do wings like that, I mean, you got to have the bone in it. What are you going to hold on to? You know, mm-hmm. What are you going to, like, put it in your mouth and draw out all the meat off of it and fun mm-hmm. stuff like that? You know, mm-hmm. What are you going to throw at the cat? I don't know, but it's not going to be a boneless anything. Is there anything on their agenda? I know this is not even out to the public yet, or but are you considering doing another book?
I would love to. Absolutely. This experience was incredible. Page Street, amazing, amazing people behind, you know, this company, and they were just so helpful. And, you know, anytime I needed anything, they were there and suggestions. And just even now, after, you know, completing the book, they're all working so hard to try to get me to do a tour and get on shows and stuff like that. So they're constantly updating me about things. So absolutely, I would love to do another one. Nothing in the works at this point, but we'll see.
It'll get
there. We'll see how this one goes.
So are they going to pay you in American money or are they or Canadian money?
American.
Okay. I had to ask. Sorry about that. Paula's going to stick around for after hours, which she may never speak to us again after Leanne gets done with her there on.
It's more like you.
Yeah. But we have been talking with Paula Stashira, and I got the name right three times. That's a
first
for me. Her new book is Wing Crush 100 Epic Recipes. Tell us about your Instagram and your other social media pages, how people can find you.
So Instagram, my handle is Queen of the Grill, and I'm also on TikTok, same user handle, Queen of the Grill.
Very good.
That's it. And you don't have 344 platforms like we do. You're a smart, smart girl if you do that. Paula Stashira, new book, Wing Crush 100 Epic Recipes. That'll be out when? The 26th?
Yes, April 26th.
April 26th. You can also follow Paula on Instagram and TikTok as Queen of the Grill. She's got a podcast, All Up in My Grills, and it's been a pleasure. But you are going to stick around for the Inquisition part, so
yes,
we'll do that. We'll be back next week. That'll be Leanne and I with another guest here on Barbecue Nation. We hope you all have a good week, and be kind to somebody out there, would you? Take care.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.